Do you remember Vacation Bible School? How many of you remember Vacation Bible School? A whole bunch. There's so much to love about VBS. That joyful, exciting week of mornings or evenings at church during the summer, listening to storytellers, dressing up and acting out Bible stories, playing games, eating snacks, and doing so many crafts. Coloring, painting, gluing, building, assembling, stapling things to ribbons that you can hang up in your home later on. And when I attended VBS as a child, the stories always seemed to be the same. Noah's Ark, David and Goliath, Moses and the burning bush, Jesus walking on water, the Good Samaritan, and the story that Lynn read for us this morning about Martha and Mary, the two sisters who reacted very differently when Jesus visited their home. The story of Martha and Mary is one most of us have heard many times. So many times, in fact, that it's tempting to feel like there's nothing new that we can learn from it. It's one of the shorter stories in Luke's gospel, only 5 verses long. Jesus was traveling, presumably with his disciples, from Galilee toward Jerusalem when he arrived at an unnamed village. A woman named Martha, who had probably met Jesus before, invited them into her home and began preparing a meal for the guests. Her sister Mary, rather than help out, sat down at Jesus' feet among the disciples and listened to him. Martha, the typical responsible older sister, was annoyed. She complained to Jesus that she was doing all the work, and she asked him to instruct Mary to pitch in. But Jesus did not respond as Martha had expected or hoped. Instead of chiding Mary for not pulling her weight in the kitchen, Jesus pointed out that Martha was distracted and worried by many things, and explained that by sitting and listening, Mary had chosen, quote, the better part. It sounds pretty clear cut, doesn't it? Mary was right, Martha was wrong. But is that really what Jesus was saying? Like so many other gospel stories, this one has some layers that change how we understand it and how we apply it to our lives today. It's important to begin by acknowledging that Martha and Mary were women in ancient Palestine, where gender roles were very clearly defined. Providing a meal for visitors was an important sign of hospitality, and women were the ones responsible for preparing, serving, and cleaning up that meal. Martha took on that responsibility single-handedly, while Mary simply sat and listened. So was Martha the bossy older sister ordering Mary around? Or was she the responsible and caring one who wanted to be sure Jesus was welcome and well-fed? Was Mary breaking out of traditional gender roles to be a disciple of Jesus? Or was she just shirking her responsibility as a host? The story means something different to us depending on how we look at each woman. Black and white, either-or kind of thinking is common in our society today. And it's easy to see why it's appealing to classify things as good or bad, right or wrong, acceptable or unacceptable. Having clear categories and sticking to them makes it easy to understand and respond in an often confusing, sometimes chaotic world. But as we know, the world is not black and white. It is awash in swirling colors. And in those vibrant blends of color, we find people who are much more complex and multifaceted and imperfect than we would like. And so it was with Martha and Mary. Martha was probably the owner of the house, which is why she is the one who welcomed Jesus in. She was focused on hospitality and really wanted to serve. But she was also exhausted, overwhelmed, frustrated at having to do everything. And so she became a little self-righteous when she asked Jesus to solve the problem for her. Mary was the one who managed to break free of traditional gender roles in order to care for her own spiritual and theological education by listening to Jesus. But she also neglected her responsibility to provide hospitality for the visitors, And she remained passive, never saying a word in this whole story. If you're looking for an unambiguous answer, should we be a Martha or a Mary, you're going to be disappointed by this story. The fact is that Martha and Mary were both engaged in important acts of ministry, but those acts looked different. Individually, Martha and Mary were incomplete disciples, each focused on only one thing. Martha was listening. Together, they embodied the interconnected ministries of listening and serving. Martha and Mary depended on each other to minister and to Jesus and his disciples in all of the most important ways. In the same way, we are an interdependent community of faith. Each of us brings different gifts, different experiences, and different calls from God to our worship and ministry together. And it's only by leaning on one another, embracing and celebrating the ways we are different, just as much as the ways we are the same, that we fulfill God's promise as a community of believers. We'll come back to Martha and Mary in a moment, but first let's take a look at the bigger picture of this story. In his travels through Galilee on the path to Jerusalem, Jesus spent much of his time preparing the disciples for their mission after his death and resurrection, through speaking in parables and through the examples he showed in communities. The scripture passage just before this one, Luke 10:25-37, is another familiar story that provides an important complement to today's scripture. Hear now this familiar parable that you probably also learned in Vacation Bible School. An expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this and you will live." But wanting to vindicate himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him, beat him, and took off, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came upon him, and when he saw him, he was moved with compassion. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, treating them with oil and wine. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell in the hands of the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." The parable of the Good Samaritan, as we know this story, is all about showing love to God and neighbor by doing, by helping, by being hands-on. The Samaritan man set an example for the disciples and all of us, and Jesus commanded us to go and do the same. The ministry of doing is clear. We pay attention to the needs around us, and we extend kindness and care to the ones in need. Sometimes our actions are big, like the group at General Assembly last week who arrived a day early to build the frame of an entire Habitat for Humanity house in one day. Sometimes our actions are much smaller, but no less important. One afternoon at General Assembly, my friend David went into the restroom and found a young man standing over the sink cleaning a bleeding wound on his face. David stopped to ask what was wrong, and the young man said he'd just fallen off a scooter and scraped his face on the pavement. David stayed with him, helped him clean the wounds, and guided him to the first aid station to check things out and make sure he didn't need stitches. It was a small, simple act, but very much in the spirit of Jesus' commandment to go and do. It's the same ministry Martha was engaged in as she prepared a meal for Jesus and his followers. But the story of Martha and Mary also teaches us about a different yet equally important form of ministry, to stop and listen as Mary did. That's much harder for many of us. Life is so busy and hurried that stopping to take time just to listen, even to someone as important as Jesus, feels like an extravagant waste of time. But Jesus himself told everyone assembled at that house that what Mary was doing was, in fact, important. The two stories of the Good Samaritan and of Martha and Mary present two different, complementary, and equally important ways of living out our love of Jesus. Which may lead you to wonder, as it did me, why did Jesus seem to admonish Martha and praise Mary in this story, if both were doing things that mattered? The problem for Martha wasn't that she was doing instead of listening. The problem was that she was so distracted and worried about what she needed to do that her attention was monopolized by it. By focusing only on all the little things that needed to be done to make sure this meal was exactly right. Is the meat seasoned well enough? Are the napkins folded right? Should the cups go on the left or the right? Do we have enough chairs? Martha failed to see the bigger picture that she was contributing to. And the stress and worry that consumed her while others sat quietly just listening to Jesus may have made her feel invisible. In asking Jesus, "Do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself?" Martha may have also been saying, "Do you truly see me? Do I really matter to you?" And Jesus responded to her question with compassion. His words to Martha may have been heard not as an admonishment for doing something wrong, but as compassionate care for a friend who was stressing herself out unnecessarily. He was saying to her essentially, "Martha, my friend, take a deep breath. None of these little things are that important." He was not saying that Mary was doing the only important thing by sitting and listening, or that Martha's hospitality didn't matter. In fact, hospitality was a key theme of Jesus' ministry in the Gospel according to Luke. Jesus himself demonstrated radical hospitality by eating with sinners and tax collectors. He compared God's inclusive hospitality to a great banquet where the invited guests did not show up, and so the host went out to the street and invited the poor, the blind, and the lame to eat at the banquet table. Instead, Jesus was reminding Martha and the others that service is incomplete if it's not centered around God's word. Listening and doing both matter. Both and. We see this both and in our own worship service. We hear preaching on the word, and we eat together at the Lord's table. We offer prayers praising God for the blessings in our lives, and we offer prayers beseeching God for help with the troubles in our own lives and the lives of others. We receive and bless food offerings once a month, and we take those offerings to be shared with our neighbors in need. Listening and doing, both and. The story of Martha and Mary is one of many stories in the New Testament about women who played an important role in Jesus' life and ministry. Mary sat at Jesus' feet and listened, a role typically reserved for the male disciples. And Jesus embraced her as a disciple. In the same way, we embrace the leadership of women in our midst and in our denomination. At General Assembly this week, the final preachers were the four living general ministers and presidents, Hoyt and I debated how to make that plural, of the Christian Church Disciples of Christ. Included among them was the Reverend Sharon Watkins, the first female GMP and the first woman ever elected to lead a mainline Protestant denomination. I have a vivid memory of the business session when we elected her in 2005. After the vote, which was essentially unanimous, and a prayer of blessing, I slipped out into the hallway for a few minutes. In that hall, I ran into the Reverend Zena McAdams, who had been our interim regional minister in Georgia a few years before. Zena was in tears, and I asked her what was wrong. She broke into a huge grin and said, "I never thought I'd see a woman elected to lead our denomination." It was and is a powerful reminder that women have not always had voice in the church or even in our denomination, even though women have been central to the ministry of Jesus Christ since the very beginning, and we continue to have important roles to play in spreading the good news now and in the future. So what can we take from the story of these two sisters whose ministries complemented each other? Martha's story reminds us of the importance of hospitality and belonging in the church. What do we do now at Lawrenceville First Christian Church to extend radical hospitality to our neighbors, as the Samaritan and as Martha both did? How do we help ensure that people feel like they belong here? We have many ministries that are about welcome and belonging, from our coffee ministry each Sunday, to the cards that Disciples Women send, to providing events that welcome families onto our campus, such as Trunk or Treat and the Live Nativity. As we move into the future, what more can we do to extend that hospitality, to demonstrate that we love our neighbors as ourselves? At the same time, Martha's story reminds us how easy it is for worry to take over and distract us from ministry. Think for a moment about something that worries you or distracts your attention away from focusing on what God has planned for your life. Take a moment now to breathe in and breathe out and name that distraction for what it is. Over the next week, as you notice that distraction, breathe in and out and gently let it go. At the same time, Mary's part of the story helps us recognize the power of pausing in the middle of our busyness and taking time to just listen. Many of us are so busy going, 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 and doing, 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 that we miss those quiet moments with God. Think about how you might slow down this week and listen to God, if only for a moment. What can you do to be present in that moment and to listen more fully with your whole attention? For sometimes God speaks to us in a still, small voice that's hard to recognize unless we also take the time to be still and listen. The story of Martha and Mary is one of contrasts, but it's not a directive to live our lives in only one way. The world needs followers of Jesus who listen and fuel themselves with God's word, and who use that fuel to go and do as Jesus commanded. As we move forward into the new week, how can each of us be more like Martha and more like Mary? May we all strive to find that balance today as we worship the God who loves us more deeply than we could ever know. Amen.